my gosh. Kind of a disclosure. I got sick last night. I lost my voice, but I think it's coming back a little bit. But no, that's not the microphone. Diane McArdle, you're a hard act to follow. That was fabulous. Thank you. Well, last week, Terry walked us through what she called the adventure movie of Paul's life. She said it was like the Wild West. It contained beatings, stonings, prison, conversions, persecution, murders, shipwrecks. It had everything that an adventure movie today would have. Well, today we're going to focus on one section of this adventure of Paul's. Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch of Pisidia in Asia Minor. This area had a very large Jewish population. So Paul proceeds in the synagogue to review for these people Israel's history. He talks about that there was a special covenant relationship between God and the Jews that God had initiated. So this speech develops into their history in detail, and you read it in the passage from coming out of Egypt in the wilderness, and he develops it until it reaches David. Then he leaps over about 1,000 years to the promise of the deliverer of their nation. But first, Paul mentions John the Baptist. John was the bridge between the promise and the realization of the promise. He was the last link in Israel's history before the Messiah comes. And I want us to remember about John the Baptist. What I love about John the Baptist, although he did look really strange, he was very clear in anybody he was talking about that he was not the one to come. He says, no, I am not the Messiah. Paul had done this too in this church. He says, no, I am not the God. And John is saying, I am not the one. In fact, I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals of the one that is to come. The humility and submission of John are highlighted here in part to make the point that he is not the center of God's story. Jesus is the center of God's story. So Paul is showing this Jewish audience that through the events in human history, God was always working out his plan for his own creation, and that plan reaches its culmination in Jesus. As Ajith Fernando said in our book, in our study guide, many people fear for the world as they see it heading towards self-destruction. And isn't that true? We hear so many people, whatever you're thinking politically or terrorism or whatever it is. I have one friend, she says, we're doomed. Our country's doomed. But Paul is saying, God is not asleep at the wheel. And I think we need to say this to other people. God is not scratching his head and say, oh my gosh, how did I let things get out of control? Look what happened to the United States. God is not inactive, and God has not abandoned his creation. No matter where you land, Jesus is still on the throne. I love that. Jesus is still king. But rather, God has acted accordingly to his plan, even if we don't see it, which has gradually been unfolding since day one, and the whole point of his plan is to reveal Christ. Paul is saying that the promises made were all pointing to Jesus. So he's talking about the Old Testament. And haven't you heard people say, why do you study the Old Testament? It's not about Jesus. Well, the Old Testament is all about Jesus. We studied the tabernacle a couple years ago, and I was unaware, and it was so much fun. Every item, everything in that tabernacle is symbolic of Jesus. If you want to do really a fun, quick study, just Google, what is symbolic in the tabernacle about Jesus? It's everything. The whole thing is setting the stage for the sacrifice, to go through the veil. Jesus's body is the veil that we go into the Holy Holy. I mean, you could go on and on and on. The whole thing is just setting the stage for Jesus. So as God is getting his people ready, Jesus is predicted in the Old Testament. He is revealed in the Gospels. He is preached in Acts. He is explained in the epistles. He's expected in Revelation. It is all his story. Until I really study where God is so clearly pointing to Jesus, I have missed so much. Paul is saying, pay attention to the big picture. In this movie, we call history, and I know everyone here knows this, but I think it's so cool. History is his story. And it is written by the finger of God. And yes, the main character is Jesus. Same is true in our own little movies that we call our lives. God is always at work, and we become so myopic that we miss the big picture. I'm going to get to heaven, and God's going to go, you missed this, you missed that, I did this. And I'm going to think, I was so concerned about my own life. I've so many times missed what God is doing. Why do we miss it? Why do we miss his involvement, all the things that he's doing? I think because hard things come into our lives, and we're bitter, or we're thrown off course, and we feel like, I don't deserve this. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have everything work out. And we question his working in our lives. Why? Because we think we know what is best. And if God would just take our advice on how to run things. Priscilla Shire says, how, I love Priscilla Shire, how dare we think for a moment that we know better than God or that he owes us an explanation. When we do that, we have lost sight of the Almighty. When we do this, we are attempting to put ourselves in a position above and ahead of God. We are relegating him to the position of a cosmic bellhop. Isn't that awful? And I love what Francis Chan says. Can you worship a God who isn't obligated to explain his actions to you? Could it be your arrogance that makes you think God owes you an explanation? Dave did the best sermon. Dave did the best sermon a few years ago on Romans 8:28. We know all things work for the good of those who love him. I mean, I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was such a great sermon. This does not mean things that happen to us are good. He's not saying things are good. But he is saying he can bring good out of all things. Is financial ruin good? No. Is a divorce good? No. Is death good? Usually not. Rebellious children? No. Those things aren't good, but God brings good out of all things. And after this sermon, Dave kept saying, all things? Is this all things? And Terry and I do this all the time. We'll hear something sad or we'll be going through something. We'll go, all things? This fits under all things. God can bring good out of it, even though it's not good. But we're confused because we're saying, wait a minute. He says he's going to bring good out of this. Well, we don't get to define good. God gets to define good. We serve a good, caring, divinely intervening God who is righteous in all of his ways and kind in all of his deeds. And in addition to that, Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. So yes, he is in control, but we have to remember he is a good and loving God. And just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not good. I think the antidote to wallowing is worshiping. When we really focus on his attributes, we are more likely to trust his providence. I love the quote, and this has been so true for me in my waiting and praying and crying out, God did not give me what I wanted, but he gave me what I needed, himself. And that would be a great thing for you to talk about in your groups. Where have you not gotten what you wanted, but you got him? A lot of you know the story, but my mom died 30 years ago when my daughter was 2 years old. It was horrible. It was shocking. She lived in Corona del Mar, saw my mom every day, especially after my daughter came. And so she came over after work. One day she went home and she took her life. And we did not know she was going to do that. It was horrific. It shook me up like nothing. One, there's the grief of missing her, that she's not there for my kids, not there for us, everything else. And then the second part is how sad that somebody was that depressed that they would do that. It shook my foundation. It made me not trust God. It made me mad at God. I was drowning thinking, how can a mother leave you? If a mother leaves you, what can I count on? Well, you know the answer to that. But I had to go through this struggle of my desperate searching for answers. And what did God show me? God showed me himself. It changed my life. It changed my worldview. It changed my relationship with the Lord. And he had something better for me than what I wanted. I wanted guarantees that nothing bad would happen again. I wanted guarantees that I could control things. And I wanted him to promise me that nothing bad would happen again. He goes, I'm not going to promise you that, but you're going to have me with whatever you go through. And then a few years later, my dad dies in a car accident. And I remember when I got that phone call, I thought, oh, no, I can't do this again. It shook me. I go, no, What do we know? No, you can go through this again. Yes, your foundation is secure, and you know God's going to hold you through this. And he did. And I'm so thankful for the lessons that God gave me through. He doesn't like suicide. But he allows things, and he used it for my good. And it really changed my life, and I'm thankful all the time. I think God has something better for this. And I love this cartoon. It's like we're saying, God, give me what I want. And he's got something bigger and better for us. And it's you and it's him to know that he is there for us and to have that kind of relationship. Again, when somebody is going through something, and I know we all know this, but we never minimize the hurt or pain or devastation in someone's circumstances. If someone's going through something, you go, well, God's going to bring good out of this. That's very dismissing. We wait and we watch. And I think it's so fun for us when we can see what God has done. If your husband left you and filed for divorce, this is not what the Lord intended for your marriage. But be sure of this. He has seen it and has allowed the pain to enter your life for some reason known only to his holy providence. And if we start to doubt that, we need to focus more on who he is. And though you cannot understand it or make sense of this, you and I are being asked whether or not you trust God, even in the midst of your painful circumstances. And are you willing to surrender to his work in your life, which is all about his love for us? And my prayer is that I will develop more of a spiritual vision so I can see things more as he sees them, to see the eternal value in our circumstances. I get so in the daily grind of stuff, and I miss the big picture. And I'm the loser because I miss the big picture. And this was a great quote. Never look at God's love through your circumstances, but always view your circumstances through the lens of God's love. Whatever you're going through, say, I know God loves me. I'm going to look at this through his love. Don't say he doesn't love me because I'm going through a hard time. More than anything, to develop that sweet, I think it's great to be desperate, deep intimacy and dependency. Ask yourselves when you're going through a hard time, what is God trying to teach me? Instead of complaining, say, what can come out of this? What is God trying to teach me? My loving God, what is he trying to teach me? How can I be more like Jesus through this? We take the focus off of ourselves. Just like John the Baptist, we start saying, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. John the Baptist was removing himself as the central figure, and we need to remove ourselves as a central figure. Paul is pointing out in this sermon that God's hand is tracing the events of history to reveal himself. That same hand is in control of my circumstances and your circumstances to reveal Jesus to us. He is no less involved today than he was when Paul's talking to these Jews. Priscilla Shire says, we can see more than a problem. We can see a privilege. I thought, a privilege? When we get to be included in his work, it's a privilege to look at circumstances and discern God's involvement. He is allowing us to cooperate with him in bringing growth from loss, a testimony from a tragedy. And I heard one woman said, he's turned my mess into a message. And we all have our messes. Two things happen when we cooperate with God. We have a sweeter, deeper relationship with him. And he uses our pain to minister to others as they see his work in our lives. Our greatest ministry can come out of our greatest pain. The person that helped me the most after my mom died was somebody else that had a suicide in their family. And if you've had something like that, you can minister to people like nobody else can. God will use your pain to minister to others. So in your groups, talk about where you have seen God's hand at work in your own circumstances. What is your story? Another thing to ask in your groups is, if your life, as Terry said last week, was like the Wild West, if your life had a movie title, what would it be? Some might be good, some might not be so good. Was your life like The Sound of Music? Did you have a very happy, singing family? Well, I had two-step families, so I never could relate to this happy blended family that we're singing in the Alps. Or did you have a magical childhood, like in Mary Poppins? With two divorces in my family, this literally was my favorite movie, The Parent Trap. That movie is every broken home kid's dream to reunite their parents. Maybe today, raising a family, you may feel a little clueless. Or sometimes I have felt my generation remembers that movie. Maybe some of you are too young. It's the worst. But ask yourselves, in your movie, in your story, who is the central character? Am I the star? Do I always highlight myself, my story, whether it's the joys or whether it's the sadness or the pain? Do I want all the attention? Do I want the glory in my movie? We need to be less like this. And we need to be more like John the Baptist that says, oh no, it is not about me. It is all about Jesus. Our story needs to become his story. About 12 years ago at our women's retreat, Terry Pollock had a great idea, and we did a thing called life mapping. It's a visual picture of God's story coming through our own lives. I did one for my life this week, and I'm going to show it to you. It is a great exercise if you ever want to do it with your small group. So the pink things are positive events that happened in my life. So I went through and wrote the pink things. Then the blue things, I'd say, were the very sad interruptions. It could, you know, parents' divorce, remarriage, my mom's death, my dad's death. I had miscarriages, anyway, going through. And then the oranges are the people that God used in my life. And the greens are God's redemptive work. They are so fun to go through. And I ran into somebody, it could have been somebody in here, they go, I found my life map that we did all those years ago. I forgot how many greens there are. And I think for all of us, when we really go through and see how God has redeemed what he's done in my character, what he's done for all sorts of things, whatever it is, if anything else, your relationship with him, to go through and see, where are the greens? Now, some more things over here, and he's not done with the greens in my life. He's got some more work to do, but I know, because I look back here, I think I know he will redeem those, because I look back and I thought, you know, I just did this for you guys. I thought, I think I'll just keep this as a reminder. I should just keep it up in my bedroom and go, look at all he's done, when I get worried about these new blues that he's not going to redeem them. So we have more greens than we think we do. And how can we, when we're talking to somebody else, show God's story through us? Well, I think it's when we're very real and vulnerable. And I think this is the beauty of our small groups here. When people are really sharing, this is a hard time. I'm struggling with this. I don't have the answers. And of course, in time, we can see how God comes in and comforts and teaches and guides and sometimes heals things. And it's so fun when somebody is real, and then later on you guys say, thank you for letting me in, because then I got to see God's work in that. Sometimes it may take a long time, but God never wastes our hurts. He never wastes our waiting or our pain. God calls us to a deeper intimacy, and the more we spend time with him and focus on really who he is, I think we're much more able to put the spotlight on the Almighty and take it off ourselves. Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you, others can see him. So how has God shown up in your life? Share that in your groups. And how, right now, can you let him rewrite your story for his glory and for your good? How can you make Jesus be the star of your show? Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Father, thank you that you are at work in all of our lives, in the good times, in the pain, in the struggles. But Father, just open our eyes. Open our eyes to see where you are involved, where you are calling us into a sweeter and deeper relationship with you. Father, we just thank you for for your love and your care and your concern. You are not a God that is far off, but you are involved every day in every part of our lives. And Father, we just thank you for that fact and just celebrate all you have for us, and just help us to show our lives that you are in control and that it is all about you and so much less about us. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these women that love you. In your son's name, amen.